Father, I thank you again as we all gather together and we share the word of God now. Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. And it brings light and gives understanding. Now, let that light shine upon our hearts this morning. Bring encouragement and give glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So today's message and lesson, God's purpose and counsel for your life shall stand. So that's it, you know, that we are going to talk about today. And no matter what the devil tries to do about it or people, it's going to stand what God has purposed. So I will just take it as like a Bible study and give us some scriptures that will encourage us along those lines. And then I may say one or two other things that the Lord wants me to say. The first scripture where we're going to start, you know, first we're going to see how that God himself, you know, talks about his purpose. And then we're going to see how that relates to our lives. So let's start here in the book of Isaiah chapter 14. We're going to just read a few verses there. From Isaiah 14, we'll start from perhaps verse 24 and read. And here's what the Lord said. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. That I will break the Assyrian in my land and upon the mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off of them and his burden depart from off their shoulders. Now this is the purpose that is proposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts have purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Now, that's the Lord himself speaking, that whatever he has thought to do, and whatever he has purposed to do, shall come to pass. And nobody, you know, can disannul it. Raise the Lord. Now, whether it's in his eternal purpose or it is in his counsel for our lives, it will come to pass. The devil cannot remove it. He might try, you know, but God's purpose will stand. So that's the first assurance that we get from the Lord. And see how the Lord said it here. It said, for the Lord of hosts has purpose, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out to do what he wants to do, and who can turn it back? Praise the Lord. You know, so as we go through these lessons, I want you to, you know, try not only listen to the stories and the admonitions from the scriptures, but also we try to apply this to our lives so that we will not be discouraged. You know, and nobody can try to, you know, derail you from what God has proposed for your life. I mean, well, they can try, but it's they're not going to succeed, is what I meant to say. Now, let's read in Isaiah chapter 46. We'll read a few verses, perhaps verses 9 to 11. And again, see what the Lord is saying here. Isaiah 46, you know, verse 9. Remember the former things. Hallelujah. He says, of old, well, I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous beast, I mean bird from the east, the man that executed my counsel from a far country. You know, God can make anybody execute his counsel. And the people that try to defeat the God's counsel will actually walk for you. They may or may not know that that's what they are doing, but they will. Because God's counsel will stand. And he said, yea, I have spoken it, and I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I will also do it. So, you know, these are scriptures of God declaring his own purpose and how he stands behind it. No matter what the Lord has planned, whatever the Lord has planned, no matter what the enemy tries to do against it, God's counsel will still stand. Psalm 33 and verse 11. And the psalmist also adding voice to this subject matter in admonishing us that the counsel of the Lord will always stand. Here's what he said in Psalm 33 verse 11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Praise the Lord. So whatever the Lord has proposed, that's his counsel. You know, his thinking, his plans, you know, and so forth, it will come to pass. But as a matter of fact, the Bible says it stands forever. You know, so keep these admonitions from the Lord in your mind as we go through this, and then we're going to relate them to ourselves. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 21. Now, we begin to relate this more to ourselves now. You know, so there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. Now, the man that's devising and planning things in his heart, it may be for himself, or it may be against someone else. It doesn't matter. But it is the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. That's what it says here. So even for ourselves, you know, one way or the other, we may plan something one way. The Lord may direct it to come out a different way. And then you can look at it from a different perspective. Someone may be devising things in their hearts against you, you know, but that's not going to stand. What's going to stand is the counsel of the Lord. Now, Lamentation 3 and 37 is a verse that I have quoted many, many times over and over again. I think even yesterday in this room, you know, and that gives us a basic principle that, it's always worked for me. I pray that it will always work for you. And he says, who is he that saith anything, and it cometh to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? So, you know, people who try to say things, it may be, as we heard one sister say yesterday, that people are trying to put her down, not letting her, you know, flourish in the calling of God and so forth. Well, you know, here is the word of the Lord, you know, that we're talking about today. What they say will not stand because that's not what the Lord has commanded. Now, what the Lord has commanded is what's going to stand for you. So let's read that together in Lamentation 3 and 37. Who is it that saith something, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commanded it not? So right there you see that something that the Lord has not commanded will not stand, even though people may be plotting it and saying it and so forth. You know, so what is it that the Lord has commanded, though, concerning us? Well, we'll find out what it is in a bit as we go through this lesson. But first, I'm laying a background here that people may try to say things or try to do things and so forth. And if it's not in accordance with God's purpose, then it will not stand. So let's be assured about that. You know, let's be assured about that. Let's read also Isaiah chapter 44. You know, there are even things that people plan, evil people may even plan evil things. The scripture calls them the tokens of the liars. Many things that people may plan. But what does the Lord do with those things? Well, you know, let's read it. In Isaiah 44, let's read from verse 24. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, and that spreadeth out abroad the earth by myself. He did not need any help then, and he doesn't need any help now to perform his purpose. That frustrated the tokens of the liars. I love this one. And maketh diviners to be mad, and turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge to be foolish. Turns around, though, and confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers. Hallelujah. Saying to Jerusalem and to the people of God, thou shalt be inhabited and thou shalt be built up. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And I will raise up the decayed places and things that people have tried to throw down, cast down in your life. I will raise them up, saith the Lord. Now, tokens of liars. What are those? Praise the Lord. The other day we were talking about that devil being a liar and the father of it. And the devil, Jesus said when he tells a lie, he tells it of himself. And there's no truth in him because he's the father of lies. You know, and the devil cannot tell the truth. Even when he reveals or makes statements about facts, he can't tell the truth because there's no truth in him. And I spoke about that the other day, bringing the difference between facts and truth. Because the word of God is truth. And anything else that's not the word of God, it may appear to, you know, contain some certainty, but it's not the truth. And Jesus declared himself, John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, so, and again, Jesus, you know, praying and talking, you know, to the Father concerning his disciples, he said, I have declared to them thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we see that the word of God is truth. And again, Jesus said in John chapter 8, you know, and 32, that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And all of that is wrapped up in his word. Sanctify them, Jesus said, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17 and 17. So anything that's not according to the word of God, then that's not the truth. According to Isaiah 8 and 20. These scriptures by now, you know, should ring a bell, and you should be familiar with these scriptures because I've quoted them over and over again. Isaiah 8:20 is another good one that says, you know, lay everything against the standard of the word of God. And if it's not according to the word, then get away from it because there's no light in it and it cannot affect you because we're children of light. We are not children of darkness. You know, the light is over us, not darkness. So anything that is not according to this word, he said, it's because there's no light in them and there's no light in them. If they speak not according to this word, if somebody speaks something, you check it out with the law and the testimony, which is the word of God. And if it is not according to it, then there's no light in it and you don't need to worry about it. It cannot work because, you know, the Bible says in John chapter 1, you know, that when the light, you know, through Jesus entered into you. He said, Jesus is the light that lightens every man that comes into the world. And when that light comes into you, he says, well, darkness cannot comprehend it. Hallelujah. In him was light, life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it or even understand it. You know, that's John chapter 1. You know, verses 4 and 5. So we see that, you know, anything that's contrary. Tokens of liars. Now, people might take tokens, you know, and, you know, in the dark world, they do that. And some people lend themselves to those things. They take tokens and take tokens and try to use it to bring incantations and enchantments and divinations against people. It often works, you know, for those who are in the kingdom of darkness. And even for those who may claim to be in the kingdom of light, they don't really know who they are. The devil may still overpower them, you know. So, I mean, you know, you got to really know who you are. That's why I played that song at the beginning. I know who I am. Well, do you really know who you are? And do you know whose you are? You know, so in the kingdom of darkness, they take tokens. They may take someone's photo. They might take something that has someone's DNA, here, there, this and that, and do all kinds of tokens. They may gather together enchantments, charms, and talisman, and all these things, and try to do evil. You know, those of us that come from Africa and some dark regions, we know a lot about these things. But one thing I've always known is, well, it's never worked over my life, you know. Work over someone else's, but, you know, because the purpose of God has always stood in my life. And for that, I am eternally grateful. It's not that people didn't try, you know, they tried, but it didn't really work, you know. So, and that's the way we need to, that's the posture that we need to have to know that, look, you know, God's got us covered, you know. There is a story, but you got to know who you are. There's a story in Acts chapter 19. You know, you can read it from about verse 11 through about verse 20. There was a group of people that didn't really have, you know, the proper understanding. They called them the sons of Sceva. You know, they saw the things that Paul was doing and so forth. And they said, well, you know, we can do some stuff too. So they saw a crazy man was possessed of the devil. And they talked to him and said, look, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out of him. They were called exorcists. They didn't really know, they didn't have the true power of God. You know, but, you know, they've heard and seen Paul do some things, handkerchiefs and different things taken from his body, casting out devils and stuff like that. And they thought to do that. Well, the answer of the demon-possessed person, the devil that was inside of him, you know, will surprise many people. But it is the truth. And that's what the answer came. And he said, well, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. But who are you? And he bounced on them and made havoc of them. Leaped on them, overcame them, prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks, you know, and so forth. And the name of the Lord was magnified. God, the devil said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Well, does the devil know you like that? Praise God, you know. So, you know, we need to know where we stand. And people take tokens. But the Lord said, I frustrate their tokens. I don't want to spend too much time talking about what those tokens are. You know, I'm not one to glorify the works of the devil. I will say just enough to let you know they are out there, but we'll focus on the positive. But they are out there, and I know they are. I just don't dwell too much in it. But there are many tokens that people use. There are also tokens that come from the scourge of the tongue, you know. You know, so people use words for enchantment and different things like that. And certain things that they say, certain incantations and certain things, call your name, try to call your name and say certain things and so forth. Well, they're called tokens of lies. That's not what God has said concerning you. In fact, what did God say concerning you? Jeremiah 29:11, which is a famous scripture which we all read. Well, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. What kind of thoughts does the Lord think towards you? It says right here. You know, most people love this Jeremiah 29:11. And if you don't know it by heart, you should. You know, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. These are the thoughts that the Lord thinks towards you. And, you know, so any other thoughts, contrary, they will not stand. Only the purpose of God for your life will stand. Numbers 23 and 23. You know, this king called Balak thought to do evil to the children of Israel, hired Balaam to curse them. And you may know the story. If you don't know it, read it. It's an interesting story. But anyway, you know, the prophet found out, or the seer, that you cannot curse the people of the Lord. And the Lord told him, look, what is blessed is blessed. Don't you do it. You cannot do it. And even himself, he said it. You know, he figured it out. He said, look, you can't do it. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob. Glory to God. You can put your name there. Neither is there any divination against Israel. You know, I've always believed it in my heart. Tokens may be there. Enchantment may be out there. But if it's targeted against me, it's not going to work. You know, if it's targeted against you, it will not work either. You know, so this, you know, that should be our posture. In the book of Job, chapter 5, let's pick up the reading from verse 12. Again, it's the same kind of thing. You know, they have tokens, they have devices, they have things, they plan, and so forth. You know, they may use their words, they may plan some things, they may scheme some things. You know, they can do all of that. That's none of my concern, and neither should it be any of yours. Your concern is to walk in the light. Hallelujah. You're walking in the light. The darkness cannot comprehend you. Praise the Lord. In fact, Jesus said, before I read Job 5, Jesus said in John 3 and verse 8, he said, look, as the wind blows where it wants to go, no man can tell where it's going or coming until it's past. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. Nobody can divine your life unless you submit to it. If you go and submit yourself to a palm reader or some other crazy stuff, then yeah, then they can divine your life, you know, and tell. But as long as you are walking in the light in the Holy Ghost, they cannot tell. John 3:8 will tell you that. They cannot tell it. They can't figure it out. In fact, I learned that scripture perhaps when I was 19 or 20. You know, I was in this place at that time called Ferrous Cross, Science, Lagos, and the Lord showed me the scripture. And from that time on, I believed that, you know, no one can figure me out. They can't do it. You know, they can try, but they're not going to be able to figure it out. And praise the Lord. So here is what Job chapter 5 says. He disappointed the devices of the crafty, Job 5 and 12. So that their hands cannot perform any of their enterprise. Hallelujah. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and their counsel, the counsel of the wicked, the froward, he carried headlong. Lord, dash them in pieces. Glory to God. They meet with darkness in the daytime. They grope in the noonday as the night. Can't see anything. But he saved the poor from the sword, even from their mouth, and all the tokens that come out of their mouth. The Lord will save the righteous. You know, you deliver them from the hand of those who are too strong for them in the spiritual realm. They may be too strong for you if you are not in Christ. But if you are in Christ, Jesus said, no weapon. I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Isaiah also said, no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. You know, Isaiah 54 and 17. No weapon that is formed against you, either by tokens, either by incantations, either by words, will not prosper. He said, the poor will have hope and iniquity will stop her mouth. Hallelujah. You know, that's what Job says in Job chapter 5 and verse 16. The Lord will stop the mouth of iniquity. And anyone that has pronounced a word and say, you can't do that, this and this and this, who says you can't do it? You know, I've often wondered when somebody says, you can't do that. I say, who says? Glory to God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Moreover, if it is the Lord that appointed me, you know, then I'll do it and flourish in the thing too. Hallelujah. Because my grace is sufficient for you, saith the Lord. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 16, John chapter 15, you know, he told them in verse 16, he said, look, it was not your choice. It was my choice. Hallelujah. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. See? And so, you know, I mean, it was God's choice. He selected you. And nobody can throw that out. He ordained you. He said, look, I have chosen you and I have ordained you. Well, people do have ordination in denominations and so forth. Well, all right, that's cool. But God's ordination is different. You know, God doesn't need man's systems, doesn't need, you know, all these things. I mean, you may go through learning and schooling and getting ordained and all that's all cool. But that's not the kind of ordination that Jesus is talking about here. You know, I chose you and I ordained you. Glory to God. You know, and you will go out, you will do the thing that I want you to do. You will be fruitful, even in the work that I called you to do. You know, and whatever you ask my Father, he will give it to you. And this is Jesus putting his mark and signature on your calling. That's right. I mean, are you called of God to do something? We talked about the body ministry yesterday. Don't let anybody, not even your own self, think that you can't do it. You can and you will. Because that's God. God ordained you, not a man. You know, they may put you out of their assemblies. They may put you out of their congregations. And it was said yesterday that, well, you know, Jesus told them to sit down in companies. Well, maybe you are not, maybe you are in the wrong company if they try to put you out. You know, water seeks his own level, people say. God will put you into the right place. And you will flourish and the things of God will prosper in your life. And they cannot do it. The devices, their enterprises and so forth will not work. The purpose of God for your life, that will be established no matter what anybody else does. And look, you know, the way that God does what he does it so that he will get the glory. You know, it's not in us, you know, because we ran, because we strived, because we did this, because we did that. You know, it's good to do all those things, but it is not because of those things. It is because of God's purpose according to election. Now, in Romans chapter 9, there's a revelation and there's a lesson that we are taught here. And let's read it from verses 9 through about 16 to let you know that the things that God does, he does them. You know, it has nothing to do with what anybody thinks or has done or hasn't done. God's the one that does the calling and God's the one that establishes his purpose in your life. You know, in Romans chapter 9, we are told, here's a story, you know, that, you know, talking about, it said, look, this is the word of promise that, you know, at this time I will come to you and Sarah will have a son. You know, we know that word of promise came to Abraham. And not only this, he began to say, and here's the revelation. When Rebecca, hallelujah, who was the wife of Isaac, he said, when Rebecca was, had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, you know, it turned out that there were twins in her womb. Now, the children who were yet unborn in her womb, they have neither done evil or good. Listen to this. The children were still in the womb. They've not done any good or evil. But that the purpose of God, and that's the one I want to talk about, the purpose of God according to election might stand. Now, God is the one that does the choosing. God is the one that does the electing, just like Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Now, Jacob didn't choose the Lord. You know, the Lord chose him. It was said to the woman, there are twins in your body, in your womb, but the elder will serve the younger. Why in the world would that be? We know that the elder, the firstborn, should carry the birthright. You know. And, you know, a year or two ago, I taught on the subject of the birthright, the firstborn and the birthright. Powerful stuff, you know, and, you know, by right of being the firstborn, you should carry the birthright. But it was already told to her while the children were still in her womb, in order for the purpose of God according to election, not of works. That's it. Listen to it. Say, not of works, but of him that calleth. That's right. It's not of works. It's not because of what Jacob did or didn't do. It's not because of what Esau had already done or didn't do. Of course, the Lord knew the end. He knew how they would turn out. But at that point, they had done nothing. And then it was said of them, the elder shall serve the younger. And again, Jacob have loved, Esau have hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, hallelujah. It is not of him that willeth. It is not of him that runneth. But it's God that showeth mercy. Now, we should will, we should run. I mean, we should desire to do the things of God. We should work hard in the labor and not be weary. The scripture tells us all these things. But the calling and the election and the choosing of God, that's by the grace and the mercy of God. It's not because of what you did or didn't do. Now, once you receive the mercy of God and the grace of God, you know, your doing is a response to his grace. That's right. You know, now, some people teach this so-called grace, hyper-grace message that, oh, you know, grace, 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 you don't have to do anything. No, that's not what I'm talking about here. You respond to his grace by your doing. It is the love of God that constraineth us. You know, so because the Lord loves us, because his grace chose you and not the other person, you respond in kind. Praise the Lord. But nobody can frustrate the counsel of God, because before you were born, God chose it. Before these twins were born, the Lord already said it. And then later on, the thing played out. You know, it played out. We found out that, you know, eventually, you know, Esau sold his birthright to his brother. And later he complained that Jacob stole his birthright. Jacob didn't steal anything. You know, he sold it. You know, because it was a bargain. You know, give me of your venison, give me of your food, give me of your porridge, give me of this and that. You know, I faint. And he said, well, you know, I'll give it to you, but give me your birthright. And Esau despised his birthright. He said, well, I'm going to die anyway. What's my birthright? Fatal mistake that he made. Your birthright is your birthright. Don't mess with it, you know. And he despised his birthright. And he lost it. He blamed somebody else for it. Well, it was his own blame. But back to this message. Did you know that God already foresaw all those things? You know, so there's no unrighteousness with God. He knew how what Esau would do. But from our perspective as human beings, when the twins were yet in the womb, we didn't know what they are going to do or not do. God is the one that knew. So if God is saying that the elder will serve the younger and the younger will be above the elder, why? Because of the purpose of God according to election. Hallelujah. And when the purpose of God has elected you, then nobody can frustrate that. This is the encouragement I want to bring to us today. God has his plans for you, and nothing can change those plans. Now, I want to talk about, you know, this thing I called would-be destiny destroyers. You know, would-be. In other words, they want to kill your destiny. You know, when God has put his anointing and his grace upon your life, the would-be destiny destroyer say, you're not going to get there. We're going to make sure it doesn't happen. Didn't Jesus say that in John chapter 10, verse 10? That the enemy comes for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the plan of the enemy. But I, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and that abundantly. Jesus always has an antidote, an answer for any plans of the enemy. You know, he said, look, he's come to steal the words of God from you. The Lord called you, he gave you an anointing, and somebody will try to steal that by trying to frustrate you to make sure you can't walk in that anointing. Well, that's not going to work. The devil will try to kill your dreams or the plans of God in your life. That's not going to work. The devil will try to destroy everything that God has put inside of you. Well, that's not going to work. Even try to destroy your life too. That's not going to work. It's not going to work. And people should not be afraid of the devil. I mean, do you know that people are constantly afraid, not only of the devil, they are even afraid of people. I mean, people are afraid of people to the point that, you know, they don't even know, you know, I mean, what they are doing anymore. And they said, you know, this person is doing this, you know, that person is doing that. And the Lord said, look, you do not need to be afraid of any man. You need to make God your fear. You know, make God your own fear, you know, and not anyone else. You know, not, you don't need to be afraid of what people are going to do and what people are going to say. What about the Lord? You know, what is the Lord says? That's what we need to be concerned about. You know, that you should not be afraid of the fear of man. You know, because a man is going to die. You know, but the Lord is the one that is the overall, is in charge of everything. Even the breath of men are in his hands. Let me read this to you in Isaiah chapter 51. We'll read it from maybe verse 11 or verse 12. Isaiah 51. Let's read it together. If you have your Bible, let's check it out. Isaiah 51 verse 12. Pull it up here. Praise the Lord. Lord said, who is it? You know, why should you be afraid of a man, you know, that should die, and the son of man that should be made as grass? You know, why? Listen to this. I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that should die, and of the son of man that shall be made as grass, and forgettest the Lord thy maker, which stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth? Why are you afraid of people? Can't do you anything. You know, and thou hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. Yeah, well, where is the fury of the oppressor? For I have frustrated it, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. So, listen, the fury of the oppressor that tried to oppress you and put you down is nothing. The Lord said, I've frustrated their plans. I make their devices to be of none effect. I frustrate their tokens. I, you know, discomfit their works so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. And I stop the mouth of iniquity. They are stopped, can't do anything. Hallelujah. So be encouraged here this morning. You know, I can't finish a lesson like this without telling you this incredible story, which you already know. But let's bring out some viewpoints. Incredible story. Some stories in the Bible. You know, we talked about David. We've talked about him multiple times. You know, when the anointing of God was on his life, he was despised and rejected because, you know, he was not invited to his own, what would have been his own coronation party initially. You know, nobody thought any good of him, not even his own dad. When Samuel said, you know, call your children to the feast, David was not invited. So he was despised. Everybody thought little of him. He's just there with the sheep and so forth. When he said, look, we're going to anoint one of your children. You know, Jesse said, that's great. You know, hey, Eli, you are first. You know, you go forward. And so on and so forth. The Lord rejected every one of them. You know, Jesse never thought for 1 minute to even invite David. But the call of God upon David's life, whether people reject him or not, whether people think little of him or not, whether people want him to be there or not, God, you know, God told Samuel, I've rejected all these ones that you thought were the ones. And so Samuel told Jesse, we're not going, nobody's going anywhere until you bring, who else you have? Say, well, I got this one. It's over here and so forth. Always minding the sheep. That's all he cares about. Samuel said, well, we're not going anywhere until you call him. And of course, we found out that he was the chosen one. He was the chosen one. Hallelujah. And even when he was chosen and anointed by the prophet of the Lord, Before he could physically get to the throne, Saul tried to kill him many times. You know, because the anointing of God was upon him, Saul was determined. He threw a javelin at him. He threw a sword at him. He chased him all over the place. I mean, a king with armies chasing a small young man, you know, all over the place. You know, and David one time told me, like, what is the king doing chasing somebody like me? You know, and the anointing of God was upon David. He knew it too, but he was patient. Even when he had the opportunity to take Saul's life, and people say, yeah, the Lord has delivered your enemy into your hand today. Kill him and be rid of all his oppression. David said, I will do no such thing. You know, I will not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. Now, David, you see, there's something in David's head and mind. You know, whether you are a corrupt king or not, back in the day, the way a king was anointed, the oil was poured upon him by the prophet. That's right. It's not just, it wasn't voted in like they do today, you know, all these democratic places. The prophet will pour the oil on their head. That's right. Put the crown on their head and hand them the testimony. You know, that's how they do it. You know, and so David said, look, I will not stretch my hand against the Lord's anointing. He had an opportunity to kill Saul a couple of times. And will I rid himself of that nonsense, you know, and that nuisance and that oppressor. But he didn't do it, you know. But he knew what God had put in him. And he knew that nothing, you know, may take a while, but so what? You know, you will come to the place that God has chosen you to come to. No matter who's trying to kill you, no matter who's chasing you from city to city, you will get there at God's own time and in God's own timing. Praise the Lord. And David did get there. Hallelujah. And when Saul was ashamed, finally, you know, so, and God even raised up a destiny helper, even from the house of Saul. His name was Jonathan. And everything his father, you know, schemed and planned to kill David, he would get word to David and cause David to escape, and so on and so forth. So Saul was a destiny destroyer, or would be, because he couldn't do it really, but he was a would be destiny destroyer. He wanted to kill David because he knew it. He even told Jonathan, he said, look, you are helping this David, this son of Jesse, to your own destruction. Did you know that he would take your place? Why are you helping him? You know, and Saul was determined in his heart to kill David. He was a would-be destiny killer. But only would-be, because the Lord would not allow it. But then God raised up from inside his own house a destiny helper. Hallelujah. That would always help David. You know, and so their hearts were knit together. And later on in life, glory to God. Now, David was a man, you know, that remembered those who helped him. Kind of like Daniel. Daniel remembered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they helped him, prayed with him to get the dream and the interpretation. And when he was promoted, he promoted those people too. Well, when David finally became king in 2 Samuel chapter 9, and all his enemies were gone, he looked around and said, wow, I'm king now. I need to do some good to the house of Saul, you know, because of Jonathan. Hallelujah. But Jonathan was my destiny helper. And he said, who is there that remains that I may do him some good because of what Jonathan did for me? Now, he remembered. Most people don't remember. But David remembered. And they found Mephibosheth. And when they brought him, and, you know, people tried to kill that Mephibosheth too, you know, but there was a destiny in his life that God was going to set him among princes. And they tried to kill him. They killed everybody, you know, somehow he escaped. His nurse helped him to escape. He fell and became a cripple, you know, but God had something planned for him. And Jonathan was his father. And Jonathan was good to David. And David and Mephibosheth would connect again in the plans and purposes of God. And when they brought this man Mephibosheth before David, of course he was afraid. He thought for sure David was going to kill him because of all the things that Saul did to him, did to David. So David said, no, don't be afraid. I'm here to do you good today. Glory to God. Because of your father, Jonathan. Hallelujah. And David promoted this man from nothing. The man was a beggar, hiding and nothing going for him. David said, from today, for the rest of your life, you will sit at my table. Eat with the princes, just like you were one of my princes. And moreover, I commanded all the servants of the house of Saul, Ziba, and the rest of them, from today and on, you work for Mephibosheth. And he commanded, I say, all the things that Saul acquired and all the things that you have, to now, today and forward, they belong to Mephibosheth. Glory to God. You can see how God can turn the tables, you know. But David was instrumental. He got that favor of the Lord. The anointing was upon him. And he also turned around, you know, showed favor to someone else, you know. And, you know, Jonathan was a destiny helper for David. David was a destiny helper for Mephibosheth, you know. But Saul was a would-be destiny killer. But it didn't work. Praise the Lord. Now, the most interesting of those stories, and there are several in the Bible, you know, the most interesting of those stories was Joseph. There are many other would-be destiny destroyers in the Bible. In the stories in the book of Esther, the man called Haman was a destiny, or was a would-be destiny killer. Not only did he want to kill Mordecai, he said, well, it's a little thing if I should kill only Mordecai. I will kill all his people as well. You know, so, but it didn't work. It backfired on his head. Because God turned the tables and all the plans. And he actually became, you know, a destiny helper. He wanted to be a destiny killer, but he became a destiny helper. How? Because one day, he went into the king's court to desire of the king, you know, authority to kill all the Jews. And while he was there, interesting stories in the Bible. Before he came, the night before, the angel of the Lord troubled the king so that he couldn't sleep. That's right. He said, the angel of the Lord, well, absolutely. In order that it might come to pass. Whenever God wants to set things up, he does certain things in the background. There was a divine appointment that God was choosing, bringing to come to pass. So the king couldn't sleep. And when he couldn't sleep, well, his sleep went away from him. He said, bring me something to read. And he's, you know, the people who are around him and so forth, you know, his chancellors and everybody, they brought him the Chronicles. He could have brought him anything. They brought him the chronicles of all the things that have been written concerning the kingdom and the kings before him and so on. And even in his own life, he started looking. And then the Lord directed him to find a place where it was written that Mordecai had foiled the plans two times or more that they plotted coup against the king. And Mordecai was the one that reported it. Told it to Esther, and Esther certified the king in the name of Mordecai. They wrote it in the Chronicles. And so this man was looking, well, what was done for this man that saved the life of the king twice? And he said, well, nothing. He said, well, why not? Well, we don't know, but nothing was done. Okay, well, I'm going to do something about that right now. So he raised up his head. He looked, and at that very moment, Haman comes into the court. The king said, who is in the court? Say, it is Haman, my lord. Come here. He comes forward. And the king asks him, you know, if the king delights to honor somebody that he delights in, the king wants to honor someone he delights in, what should the king do I want to give me some ideas. At that time, Haman thinking, well, who else should the king honor? That I myself, because, you know, God was setting him up. Before that, Esther had invited only him. And so he thought, and he had been promoted. And, you know, everybody bowed the knee to him except Mordecai. Mordecai wouldn't bow, because he was a Jew. He wouldn't bow to anybody other than God. And so that's why he hated him. And Esther set him up. You know, God was setting him up too. Invited him to the feast alone with the king. So he's thinking, my goodness, there's nobody else that the king would have to honor, because even the queen invited me and nobody else. So he began to pile it up and became a destiny helper, a would-be destiny destroyer turned to destiny helper. And he started to say all the great things that the king should do to the man that the king wants to honor. Give him your second chariot. Take your ring off your finger and give it to him. Take your robe and put it on his head. Put your crown. Put him in the chariot. Proclaim this. Do this. Do that. Do this. The king said, is that so? He said, yes. Are you finished? He said, yes. Okay. Now, let it be so. And let there diminish nothing. Do not diminish aught of all the things that you have said. And go and do unto Mordecai all the things that you just said. Glory to God. A would-be destiny killer turned to destiny helper. And he was the one. And God said, I will set a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And I will cause your enemies to serve you on that table. That's right. You know, Holy Spirit gave that to me as an addition to that. And I put that right there. And this man not only set the table, he served. Served up all these blessings to Mordecai with his own mouth. The same mouth that he was using or planning to use to request destruction of Mordecai and the Jews. And God turned it out. See, God is a masterminder. You can't win when you try to go against God's elect. Glory to God. Be careful now. You can't do it. It'll come back on your head. You know, and so, you know, he came back on his head. And, you know, with his own mouth, he promoted Mordecai. And with his own mouth, with his own hands, he had to put the robe upon Mordecai. With his own hands, he had to put the ring upon Mordecai's finger. With his own hands, he had to prepare the chariot. You know, and with his own mouth, he had to proclaim, let everybody bow the knee to Mordecai. See, you know, you can't do it. You know, God will frustrate all the plans. Because God's ways in the whirlwind, you don't know his ways. He will frustrate all of that and turn it around. And he did. Same thing in the story of Joseph. And I will end with the story of Joseph. Remarkable story. Many chapters in Genesis, beginning from chapter 37, clear on to 45. Except for chapter 38, which was something else. But you can read Genesis 37 and then 39 through 45. For the story of Joseph. Powerful story. And despite Joseph's being naive and everything, we talked about that when we talked about, you know, how should you respond to dreams and visions. But Joseph, you know, he ran off his mouth, but nonetheless, it doesn't matter. Even Joseph himself, even though he made mistake in telling his brother his dreams, which caused them to hate him even more, God can use even your own errors. Hallelujah. Hear it to me today. God will use even your own errors to bring to pass his purpose in your life. Nobody can frustrate or destroy the purpose of God in your life. They couldn't do it. And even the error that Joseph made in, you know, telling his brothers his dreams, which he shouldn't have, you know, made them to hate him. But even that, God would use it. So all of them ganged up against him as would-be destiny destroyers. Let's kill this dreamer of dreams. Now we will see what will become of his dreams now. Well, you know, are you going to kill the purpose of God? Well, that's what they thought. But they could not do it, ladies and gentlemen. They tried, but they couldn't do it. Hallelujah. And God, you know, God has a plan. you know, as soon as they were planning it, all the destiny or would-be destiny killers, immediately God raised up a destiny helper right away in the midst of them. First man, Reuben, he said, well, you know, why should we kill him? Let's just put him in this pit. You know, there's no need for us to shed blood. He's our brother after all. Just put him in this pit and you know, let's not lay a hand on him and so forth. But his plan in his mind, I mean, somehow Reuben, you know, the Lord used him. He was planning in his heart that when everybody's gone, he will just come out here and get the young boy out of the pit and bring him back to his dad. That was his plan. You know, well, so they listened to him. They threw him in the pit, but his plan didn't quite work. But God used him anyway to deliver Joseph out of their hand. But they could have killed Joseph at that time. So God was first number one destiny helper, you know, that God raised up among the brethren were, you know, was Reuben. You know, and then when they, you know, put him in the pit, when, you know, Reuben, I mean, when he returned, he found that he was already gone. Because while he wasn't there, you know, they sold him to a band of Ishmaelites. Well, Judah was the next destiny helper. Well, they, you know, they were going to leave him in the pit to rot there and die. And Judah said, look, what's the point? You know, look at these Ishmaelites that are coming here. Well, just, you know, all we want to do is get rid of this young man anyway, right? If we sell him to these foreigners and carry him far away, we've gotten rid of him. And, you know, his dreams will not come to pass. So they said, okay, cool. So God used Judah again to get him out of that pit, sell him to the Ishmaelites, and carried him far away. And many other things happened to Joseph, as you know the story. One bad thing after another, every would-be destiny killer actually turned out to be a destiny helper. All the things that his enemies among his brethren were doing to him kept pushing him closer to his destiny. You know, he would eventually have gotten it whether it went that route or not. But, you know, those people that pushed him into Egypt, God had gave him favor there. You know, Potiphar's wife conspired against him, pushed him into prison. Yeah, she was another destiny destroyer, or would be. You know, send him into prison, let him rot there. Well, while he was in prison, glory to God, the favor of God kept locating him. You can't destroy that purpose of God in someone's life. You can't do it. You can put him in prison. You can throw him in the pit. You can sell him into slavery. You can get him away, far away from his father or whatever. He himself could have run off his mouth, made errors, said a wrong thing that he shouldn't have said. People hated him for it. But one way or another, all of those things, all things work together for good to them who are the called according to his purpose. His purpose in your life, Romans 8 and 28, God will make all the things that are around you together. Not one thing, not, you know, one thing may be bad. Being thrown in the pit, that was bad. Being sold to, you know, the Jew, I mean, to the Ishmaelites, carry him to Egypt, that was bad. Being sent to prison, that was bad. Many things that happened to him, I mean, when Potiphar's wife, you know, conspired against him, that was bad. When he was thrown in prison, that was bad. But when you put all things together, not one individual thing, but when you put all the things together, they will eventually work out according to the purpose of God in your life. So the people that are trying to put you out of the assembly and say, well, you don't belong, you know, we won't listen to you, never worry about it. God will bring all those things together and it will work out to for the purpose of God in your life. Nobody can thwart that. So they cast him into prison. And even when he, you know, interpreted and the butler was restored, the butler forgot him too. But he was still working. God was still working. Because one day, unbeknownst to even Joseph, Pharaoh would have some dreams. And, you know, if the butler guy, as soon as he was released, you know, if he had told Pharaoh about Joseph being in prison, Pharaoh may not have done anything about it because the man meant nothing to Pharaoh at that time. But God was setting Joseph up for an opportunity to stand before Pharaoh. Hallelujah. You know, up to that time, the best he got was, you know, in front of Potiphar's house, which was maybe the chief of army staff or something. But he didn't get before Pharaoh. But going to prison set him up to be able to get before Pharaoh. Now, it was a long, drawn-out process, but God was using it. Because you cannot put out that light. You cannot destroy it. Prison could not do it. Hallelujah. God kept, and the devil would tell him, we'll see now, you're going to rot in this prison. We'll see what will become of your dreams. When he was in the pit, the devil probably told him that too, you know, and so forth. He heard it from his brothers, and later on, the devil repeated to him, we'll see what will become of your dreams. You know, but he kept his integrity. Hallelujah. He would not sin against his God. He would not do anything, and God, you know, saw him through. And so, the butler forgot him, and that was good. God planned it that way. Because if he had told the king as soon as he came out, it would have meant nothing to the king at all. You know. But on the day when the king forgot to bring Joseph out of that dream, in order that the word of the Lord by dreams unto Joseph might come to pass, God caused Pharaoh to dream dreams. Hallelujah. Which nobody could understand or interpret. And in order that God will bring Joseph out of the prison and cause him to stand before Pharaoh, God restored one of the two people that Pharaoh had sent to prison. Both of them could have been killed. God restored one of them and positioned him there, even though he forgot about Joseph, God was using him. And at the right time, he said, oh, I remember my fault this day. There was a young man that told me my dreams. Two of us that you cast into prison, myself and the baker, we dreamt a dream the same one night and told this young man and interpreted it and he fell to us as he did. The man, the other man you hanged in 3 days, me you restored over here. Let the king call this man and he will tell the king. you know, God was using all those things. And at that time, it made an impact on Pharaoh. Because he needed that. Because all of his soothsayers, magicians, astrologers, and everybody, they couldn't do it. So they called Pharaoh quickly. Called Joseph quickly. They shaved him, cleaned up, brought him before Pharaoh. And you know the rest of the story. Hallelujah. You know, so all of the things that the enemy put up against you to try to destroy the purpose of God in your life will only work for your good. Because you are the called according to his purpose. And the counsel of God in your life, the devil cannot frustrate. He can't put out the light. He can try, but he will fail. I will build my church, Jesus said. And the gates of hell, Matthew 16 and 18, cannot prevail against it. He will try, but he can't do it. You know, so even for the church, Jesus said, look, they can try all these things. You know, even in the early church, when I first started, the persecution was so great. They were killing the Christians. They were running from place to place. But God was using all of that to spread the gospel. You know, because when they persecuted them from Jerusalem, they ran and scattered to many places. They carried the gospel with them. When they persecuted them from another place, they ran and scattered to another place. And they carried the gospel with them. And Jesus said it to them too. He said, look, when they shall, you know, not hear your word, you know, run to another place. By the time you go all over this place, the Lord will come. You won't even have finished going everywhere until the Lord comes. You know, so God has a way. Glory to God. And his way is in the whirlwind. Like Nahum said, God will overthrow the devices of the enemy. You know, he knows how to bring things to pass. No matter what destiny would be, destiny destroyers are planning, God knows how he can turn them around and make their plans become destiny helpers for you. So never mind what the enemy is trying to do. Remember this, the devil, he cannot frustrate the light. Darkness cannot comprehend the light. He can't do it. You know, no one can comprehend where the wind of the Holy Ghost is blowing you. Jesus said it, John 3 and 8. You know, that's why, you know, palm readers, what do you think palm readers are trying to do? That's why nobody should ever subject themselves to that. You know, your fingerprint is what they are trying to figure out. And they can't do it. Inside this fingerprint, for everybody that came into this world, since the beginning of the world, unique fingerprints, even twins, they don't have the same. Because coded inside those fingerprints are God's purpose and plans and his counsel for your life. Glory to God. And only the Holy Ghost can decode it. And so palm readers, they will go in there, they try to cajole you. So you don't ever do it. You know, but they can't do it. They can't tell. Because your life is hid with Christ in God. And they cannot frustrate the plan of God for your life. Now, so lift up your head to today, everyone whose heads are bowed down because of what people have been doing or trying to do against you. At the end of it all, in the final analysis, it'll all work out for your good. You've seen all these stories in the Bible. Praise the Lord. So there is no reason for anybody to be discouraged anymore by whatever anyone is trying. And it's not only people. The devil himself will come against you. When your star is shining, the devil will come against you. He always does that. You know, when things are moving well in your life, he'll come against you. He'll try to frustrate you. He might even bring a sudden illness as a sudden attack and sudden this and sudden that. You know, especially when you are on the brink of tremendous success. Hallelujah. When you are on the brink of emerging, that will come up against you. He does that. He does a good job at it too. But he will fail. And he always fails. Now when I say he does a good job, that means he makes a good attempt. Because it's called the gates of hell. They make attempts, but they will not prevail. When you are set on the paths of righteousness, you are on the path of righteousness. You are going towards heaven, towards the plans and towards your desired, your chosen destination that God has called you for. The gates of hell will try to close up on you on those paths. But you can't do it. Jesus already said it. They will not prevail. Praise the Lord. So that's our lesson today. And so, you know, sometimes out of the blues, the devil will attack you. They will attack your body sometimes. It will attack your body because right now, you know, you are set. You are on the verge. You are standing on the edge of infinite possibilities. That's right. God is fixing to give you a quantum leap. And the enemy, you know, he's, you know, snooping around and so forth. And he'll try to come up against you, attack your body, attack this, attack that, even attack your mind. You know, but he can't do it. He cannot succeed. God will frustrate his plans. Hallelujah. So today, I'm going to pray over the room with the hope that this message has been a lifter up for you. And now you know, and no matter what the devil will try, and he will try, but he will not succeed. People may even try to frustrate you, tell you, you can't do that. And you should say, says who? I can do all things. Philippians 4:13, through Christ, who strengthens me. When they try to put you down or put you out, the anointing which you have received, according to 1 John 2:27, is not a lie. That same anointing will be upon you. It will bring you to the place where God wants you to be. Nobody can stop it. Hallelujah. You know, this train is moving, folks. Nobody can stop it. You better get out of the way or it's going to run you over. That's the way I see it. Get out of my way or I'm going to run you over. Because, you know, David said, look, I either run through the troops, blow through them, climb over walls, do whatever, break a bow of iron with my hands, whatever. But nothing is going to stop him. By my God, I run through troops. By my God, I leap over walls. You know, troops, walls, armies. He said, look, all the armies may surround me as bees. Means nothing to me. In the name of the Lord, I will destroy them all. Hallelujah. This was a man who knew his God. He said, look, I don't care. When they come up against me to eat up my flesh, they will stumble and they will fall. That's right. So if any time the enemy comes up against you to eat up your flesh and something good is about to break for you, then all of a sudden, you know, devil attacks you here and there and so forth. You know, don't worry about it. You're coming out of there. You're going to shine. You're going to blossom forth. You know, look, he can't kill you. It's not going to make you stronger. Praise God. You're going to defeat him again, again, and again. Remember, it's like a whack-a-mole. You whack the mole here. You beat him up on this hole, and he will jump up on another hole. That's what the devil does. You whack him again. Glory to God. By the word of God. That's right. And your posture of faith. Now, remember, you take on the shield of faith by which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. That's right. Everybody should have this shield of faith. You have this shield of faith. Devil throws one thing around you. You pounce it back. You quench it. Throws another thing. Throw everything at you. Kitchen sink and all. Doesn't matter. He cannot do it. Hallelujah. Because you are strong in the Lord. The devil, he knows it too. And John, he wrote to say, you young men, I write to you because you are strong. And you young ladies too. You are strong and you have overcome that devil. And the devil knows it. Now, Father, I thank you for your people here today because the Lord is their lifter up of their head. Now, God is your glory and the lifter up of your head. And all the devices of the enemy to try to frustrate God's plans and God, the anointing of God in your life cannot work. God has called you, say, I have chosen you, not yourself and not men. You don't need men's approval. I chose you already. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, the enemy that has tried to put forth his hand. You know, one time there was a Lord, you know, one of these army officers that tried to put out his hand against the man of God in 1 Kings 13. God sent him to do something. Man put out his hand to try to arrest him. His hand was withered right away. Now every hand, every arrow that the enemy tries to put against you, be broken in Jesus' name. Now every hand, that devil tries to put out against you, let it be withered completely in Jesus' name. Now, there are some hands that I see. I saw this some time ago. You know, trying to cover a flame. This flame was burning and these hands were trying to cover this flame. And you guessed it, the flame burnt those hands. Couldn't do it. Hallelujah. A devil, he cannot cover your flame. You are an eagle. No one can clip your wings. You're going to fly. You're going to soar. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to declare emergence and quantum leap and the blessing of God and the lifting up of head for everyone that is in this room. If you believe this message, all you got to do is believe. Believe on the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Believe also his prophets, and so shall you prosper. Now, I prophesy unto everyone here in the name of the Lord today that which the enemy has thought for evil against you, God masterminds that devil. And he'll bring it all around, and it eventually turn out for your good. That's right. Even the mistake that you thought you made, God will use it. And he'll put everything together. Glory to God. And no plan of the enemy will work against you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. No weapon that is formed against you, either by tongue or anywhere else, devices or enterprises, none of them will prosper. God will frustrate them and you will come out on top. And the purpose of God and his counsel shall be established in your life. Now, what is his purpose and what is his counsel for you? That's something you must discover. Between you and the Holy Spirit. But once you discover it, and I pray that the Lord will show it to you, and some of you already know it, you know, you're already set, you know, and God is trying to move you along, and the devil, he will come there to resist you. He always does that. Look, don't ever think that you're going to just scale through. That will never happen. the devil is always there trying to resist you. He said, the Lord showed me Joshua, you know, standing before the angel of the Lord in Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1. And Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Now, Satan will always be there trying to resist you. Huh? But the Lord, he said to the devil, I rebuke you. Huh? Get out of his way. That's right. Is this not a brand that is chosen out of the fire? And the Lord said, well, take away his filthy garments. That's Joshua. I put upon him, you know, garments of blessings and so forth. And put upon him a mitre of gold. Set him, put an anointing upon him. Set a fire mitre upon his head and so on. And clothe him with beautiful garments. Beautiful garments of salvation. Hallelujah. And the angel of the Lord, he stood by and he watched all those things. And Lord, I pray, let the angel of the Lord, let him be around your children. And let him see and protect your children from day to day, wherever they go. And let the word of the Lord, hallelujah, be established. Now, that which you have spoken by your mouth or by your word to your children, let it be verified in their lives by your hand, even as it is this day. And let it be known that the enemy could not frustrate God's plans in their lives. The purpose, the counsel of God for them shall stand. No matter what the would-be destroyers would do, they will turn out to be destiny helpers, even unwilling destiny helpers, but they will. And they, you will get to your destiny that God has ordained. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.